Worship at my house. Praise the Lord. Gave it to me for my birthday. Because we bought her another one about 2 years later. This thing was lost for about 2 years. So guess what I got for my birthday? My first iPad. I never buy anything. See this here? See this here? My dad went to heaven. And he let me have his iPhone. Because he doesn't need it anymore. So we're thankful for the VA. Because he got it for free. Isn't God good? Amen. Praise the Lord. And see, I don't know what I'm doing because I'm opening my Bible. But I've got my Bible right here. I just don't know what I'm doing. I guess I don't trust this thing because I still brought my Bible. All right. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord God, that you're teaching us about your word. You're using David to teach us about your word. Thank you, Lord God, that he had a relationship with you, that he was a man after your own heart. And Father, we just rejoice in that because he was the king. We pray for a king or a leader or a president who is a man after God's own heart. And thank you, Lord God, for his son, David's son, not only Solomon, but his son, his Lord, Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit whom Jesus sent. He said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to come. And to teach you, because he's going to speak of Jesus. He's not going to speak about himself. He's going to speak about Jesus. He's going to teach us. He's going to show us who Jesus is and who we have become. So we give you glory and give you praise and thanks for your word today. And we thank you that we're going to receive it, and we're going to receive not only teaching, but we're going to receive from the Holy Spirit. And we give you glory and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. As we continue to look at Psalm 119, we continue to see that the Word of God is exalted. We know that the Scripture says that the Lord has exalted His Word above His name. He's exalted His Word above His name. Well, why is that? Because what reveals to you His name? His Word. His Word reveals His name. His Word reveals who Jesus is, who the Father is. So He's exalted His Word. And of course, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word become flesh. He is Himself, the Word of God, the fulfillment of the Word of God. And He lives on the inside of me. Is He just a word? No, He's a man. He's a man. He was a man. He came as a man. He came in the body of a man, just like you and I, was tempted just like us, and died. Lived perfectly. Lived the law completely perfectly. The law that you and I were required to live, but could not, could never live. He lived that law, and he completely fulfilled it, and then He died on our behalf. He died on our behalf. He came, and then by the Holy Spirit, He came to indwell us and causes us to walk the same way He walked. However, in this body imperfectly, we are trusting Him. And it comes to pass on the inside of us. I'm happy. I'm peaceful. I'm restful. Is somebody else not that way? Yeah, that happens. People, there are various things in life that will get your goat, what I call get your goat. Amen? Anybody know that? I mean, because the enemy's had a few chances to figure people out, and he knows exactly what will get your goat. But Jesus knows exactly how to set your goat free. Amen? He loves you. He's setting you free. Whatever the enemy has, he's one-upped him. Do you believe that? I believe it. So no matter what the enemy has come in with, though the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord has already raised up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord has raised up a standard against him. He knows exactly what issue is causing you stress right now. and He knows exactly how to relieve you. Amen? He does. He knows exactly how to relieve you. What's the beginning step? Is to rejoice and give praise and give thanks to God in every circumstance, in every situation, to thank Him. Learn to rejoice. Learn to give thanks in everything, as we said earlier. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, says, verse 16 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Not because He just wants to hear you give thanks, but everything that He says, even the law, everything is for you. It's for you. It's on behalf, on your behalf. Every law that was ever given is for the blessing of the people. It's not arbitrary. It's for your good. It's for your blessing. It's for your encouragement. It's for the peace of the community and the society. Every law that was given was so that it's a utopian law. It's a utopian law. It's a law for perfect people. Well, too bad. Too bad for you. It's a law for perfect people to maintain a perfect society. However, we couldn't do it. But Jesus came on the inside of us, and He does it. He does it. How does He do it? By faith. He does it only by faith. Amen? And it begins to happen. It actually works itself out. Working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's the fear and trembling part? You didn't do it. It's like walking the tightrope. You're going to fall off, but Jesus keeps you up. Jesus keeps you up. Jesus keeps you. He keeps me. I'm kept. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's look here at Psalm 119. All of that to say that His Word is working on the inside of me, and here's 176 verses, 176 opportunities to receive the promise of God. 176, less one or two, because it continued from the prior verse. All right? Let's look at, let me say Yud. Yud. J-O-D. Yud. All right. Now, you're learning Hebrew one letter at a time. All right. Now, I'm going to look at... You can write some of these down if you want to, some of the sub-verses that we're doing. Psalm 139. Why isn't he using his iPad? Don't know how. All right. Okay, looking at verse 73 in Psalm 119. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Now, if his hands have made you and fashioned you, and the next inquiry is, give me understanding that I may know your, that I may learn your commandments. So, if He has made you and fashioned you, He's made your brain. He's made your mind. He's made you in every way. If we look over here at Psalm 139, in verses 15 and 16, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as there was not yet one of them. So he is, if you back up to verse 14, everybody knows this one. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. So you have been made perfectly. Say it, I've been made perfectly. Okay, yeah, whether you believe that or not, it's okay. I've been made perfectly. God made you, and He made you. He didn't make the person next to you in place of you. The person next to you is not like a better you or a you that maybe is plus or minus you. God made you, in particular, individual, for purpose. Amen? He did. He made you, in particular, individual for purpose. Did you know that you alone have the relationship with God that He wants to have with you? Huh? Amen. Say yes. I'm telling you, you got to know that God made you. He didn't make all of you, like with a, you know, with a press of, you know, a template of 25, like you make labels on your computer, you know, a whole set of labels. No, he didn't. He made you absolutely individually distinct because he loves you. He had you in mind. He had you in mind, and so he had you in mind to teach you. He had you in mind to teach you. Your hands have made me. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. So if he has done that, the David's request is, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Now, what are those commandments? Are those commandments just the commandments at large, or the commandments specifically designed to you? Everybody, the commandments of God, the ways of God, the directions of God, the specific direction and call of God upon your life are specific to you. Did you know that God made a specific call and commands for you? Now, what he said, and the way, how do I get it? How do I get there? How do I get there? Is in fellowship with him. And how fast do I get them? I don't know. How fast do you get them? How fast do you receive them? How fast do you receive the fulfillment of it? I don't know, because he is working in you. And he's working in you different than he works in me. But you are made, and you are fashioned, and you are put together by him. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. So they made me, like, you know, generally, and then fashioned me is, you know, putting the right finishing touches on you. So to make you is one thing, but to fashion you is to put you in a specific and individual format. Not just, I mean, you get the flood guys, Jacob and Lucas, you know, they're twins, right? But are they? They got different, one's doing economics and one's doing engineering. I don't think they're actually the same. They're actually distinct and different. They're distinct and different. Anybody who knows twins knows that, is that, it, you know, they're distinct and different. So give me understanding. Lord, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments, that I may learn your word, that I may know, that I may be taught your word and your commandments. And then verse 74 comes right along behind it. He says, they that fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I have hoped in your word. Hoped in your word is general, but hoped in your word is specific. Because when you know him, then you know that he has a plan and a distinct direction for you. So people are excited about that, to know that from you, because they know it'll be true, it's true of them as you're declaring your testimony. You're declaring your word. You're declaring his testimony before people, before men. They that fear thee, in other words, they have a knowledge of God. A lot of times it's people that fear God may not fully know him personally and individually, but they have a fear of God. They believe in God. He said, they that fear thee will be glad. There's a reason that they're going to be glad when they see you. Because you have hoped in his word. So there's a reason that people are glad, because you already have that relationship with God, and that they can receive from you. They can receive from you. How many know that people can receive from you? Pregnant pause. Thank you, Vandy. Amen. How many know that people can receive from you once you have received from the Lord? Huh? I mean, yeah, absolutely. They can receive from you as you have received from the Lord. Another problem with these things is they go off. I know there's a reason I brought my Bible. So they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Isn't that cool? It's not because you're awesome and cool. It's because God works in you and has a ministry for you wherever you are. He does. You are specific. You are specifically designed, and you know specific people who will receive, who can receive from you, who will receive from you. Verse 75, now listen, here's the one everybody stumbles over. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Afflicted me? Wow. And that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Now take that in the context of what we've already read. Your hands have fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in your word. I know. Everybody say, I know. Oh, that's good. It's good to know, isn't it? Yeah. I know. And it's good for you to say that you know, instead of, I don't know. No, I know. I know. That's spirit side. Okay? Spirit, you remember spirit side. Soul side says, who can know? I mean, who can know? No, spirit side says, I do know. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that you in faithfulness has afflicted me. Now, if you were to go over in Hebrews chapter 12, as you are aware, is that God talks about chastising sons, right? Sons, daughters, children. Praise the Lord. Now, over in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How many know that the affliction is spirit against the soul? Huh? Amen? The spirit against the soul. You know, when I shared the word a minute ago, it says over in Philippians chapter 2 that your working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's the fear and trembling part? The salvation has already been deposited, has already been accomplished through Jesus, and the Word of God is already on the inside of you. The fear and trembling part is what we call here, chair 5, what we call here, discipleship. You have faith, discipleship, and then glory. Then the outworking. All right? So discipleship, that's what affliction is. Affliction is your soul not getting what it wants. Your soul not ruling. That's what affliction is, isn't it? That's what affliction is your soul not getting to rule. Amen. Anybody get that? Because when your soul doesn't get to rule, when flesh doesn't get to rule, we call that suffering. Or we call that affliction. Isn't it? Is affliction and suffering when your soul does not get to rule. When the spirit rules, the flesh has to die. Now, in the spirit, the flesh is already dead. The old man is what? Dead. When we got baptized, he was buried. But somehow he continues to keep popping up, because you still have this flesh living here on the earth. So he says here, so let us run with patience, this is Hebrews 12, 1. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Oh my goodness, a race. That means it's going to be some endurance involved here. It's going to be a long period. Looking, and how do we do that? How do we do the patience part? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising the shame. You know, some of us get, I mean, we take shame for as something that's bad. Despising the shame. Jesus despised the shame. Shame is nothing. Despising the shame or the bad reputation. Man, guys, look at that. Three criminals right up there. One, two, three. You know, despising the shame. Maybe bad reputation. Maybe somebody framed you. We look at what we talked about in the section last time. Is that let's see here. The proud have, verse 69, if you go back to 69 in our Psalm 119, it says, the proud have forged a lie against me. Forged. They framed. They framed you. They've caused a lie to be told about you. But I will keep, I will hold your precepts with my whole heart. I'll hold, keep your precepts with my whole heart. All right? So let's look back, Hebrews chapter 12, continuing. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author of our author and finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. Galatians 1, Galatians 3 says, who bewitched you? Who did a trick on you? That you thought you began in the spirit and then you're trying to finish in the flesh. You're trying to finish in the flesh. No, you can't. So we look unto Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. And he endured the cross, despising the shame. He is set down. The job is done. He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your, what? In your mind. Where do you get wearied and faint? In your spirit? No. You get wearied and faint in your mind. Why? Because of trouble, because of things that are happening to you, because you begin to focus on the trouble, you begin to focus on the affliction rather than focusing on your deliverance, which is complete. Right? So your deliverance is complete. I am seated together with him in heavenly places. Amen? I am. That's why I am at peace. Do things come up from time to time that kind of get you to, ooh, you know, man, that was not good. Maybe AT&T will do that to you. You know, or, boy, am I going to have to pay somebody for saying that? I may have to come up with some, you know, money to pay them now that I introduced them. So, all of these things, you know, product placement, AT&T in my sermon. No, all of these things is that everything that comes against you is designed so that it'll get your attention off of Jesus. Get your attention off of the finished work. That's what this whole psalm is about. That's why he's stuck in there for 176 verses. So that you know that his word has delivered you and set you free and caused you to continually meditate on his perfect finished promise. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, verse 2, I love these things, how they progress, because if you're looking at Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, seeing. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Verse 3 says, consider him. Now that you're looking at him, look at him again. Consider him. Keep your eyes on him. Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, just like you. Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You haven't yet resisted the blood, striving against sin.
I'm bleeding. The sin has got me so bad.
Oh, no, you haven't. You're not bleeding, striving against sin, are you? Have you noticed any blood coming out? You know, boy, this it's killing me. Striving against sin. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, the correction of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. When the word of God comes. And what are we talking about? We're talking about flesh. God's not rebuking your spirit. He's rebuking your what? Flesh. The still continuing old man that tends to live under the under this world, in this world. You wake up every day in this world. You know, the alarm clock goes off and you whack it off the table. Praise the Lord. Or maybe that's not your thing. Maybe your thing is something else. Maybe your thing is, where's my coffee? You know, you may be gentle with the alarm clock, but you just are until you have your coffee. My grandmother used to be, she don't even talk to me till I've had my cigarette and my coffee. That's not me, but praise the Holy Spirit. She only spoke one with her coffee and one before bed. She wasn't like a chain smoker, but you had to have something. Keep reading. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. Nor faint when you're rebuked of him. When your flesh. Don't faint when you're rebuked of him. Okay? Because who's he rebuking? Is he rebuking your heart? Your spirit man that's complete? Is he rebuking that part? No! He's helping you. He's helping you. He's rebuking your... He's joining with the Word to rebuke you from the flesh, of the flesh. All right? So, now all of that, and we continue to read that, you know, if you endure chastening God, whom He loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. What son is it, or daughter, in your case, girls? For what son is it not whom the Father chastens not? How many know girls or sons in this context? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all of your partakers, then are you, oh my, bastards. That means illegitimate. And not sons. Further, we had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. How shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For verily they few, after a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, for our blessing, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Again, we're talking about suffering. We're talking about suffering in the flesh, aren't we? No chastening is pleasurable for the present. It's not joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. To them which submit to it, basically. All right? Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down, you whiner. Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up in you, and thereby spring up that would trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now we could go on and on with that one in particular. All right, now I want to read you one more thing out of here. Talk about being afflicted, right? He says, "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me or humbled me." Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You can remember Hebrews chapter 12 and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? That's helpful. I'll learn how to use that iPad one day. All right? Now, let's look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above, this is Paul, above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. I'm not going to get into the doctrinal part of that. Lest I should be exalted above measure. So you don't want to be exalted above measure. Now, listen to his response. Listen to Paul's response to this affliction. Anybody want to agree that what he's talking about sounds like an affliction? Okay, good. Thank you for those hands. All right. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So you've asked the Lord three times that this thing might depart from you. And He said, first of all, I want you to see that God said something. God said. Everybody say, "And He said." My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul asked for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, the trouble or the affliction or the problem to be removed, whether it was a physical, whether it was a person. Yeah. In the Old Testament, in some places, they said the enemies of the people of Israel were thorns in their sides. So we don't know, maybe it was Diotrephes or one of these bad guys who was troubling him. I besought the Lord three times that this thing be removed from me. But God did this. He showed him something that he was not yet seeing. He wanted him to see that there was something he wanted him to receive that he had not yet received in walking in the Spirit. Okay? Because here you are, complaining about your problems. Well, God, just take the problem away. Well, that'd be too easy. But what if it just comes back? What are you going to do with it? So he's going to tell you something. He's going to introduce a new way of receiving from the Lord. So I besought the Lord three times that this thing go away, and he said, "My grace is enough." Now, everybody kind of want to think, well, that just sounds like God saying, well, just deal with it. You know? If you didn't believe God was bigger, then you would think, he's just saying deal with it. Just lump it. Just quit complaining. Is that what he's saying? No, if you'll continue to read this thing, God actually expands on it. And he's saying, you have a bigger gift than you think. You have a bigger resolution to your problem than you think. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Okay, I've got a flesh and it's weak. But his strength is being made perfect in weakness. So when affliction comes, I'm actually being strengthened and built up and learning how to walk in the Spirit and walk in joy and walk in thanksgiving without consideration of the burden of the affliction. Paul's response here, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." The power of Christ, once I say, okay, his grace is more than enough. His grace is sufficient. It's all sufficient. His grace, everything I need is supplied by his grace. For his strength is my strength. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, where's the weakness? Me. The weakness is in me. In my flesh. Now, Paul says, okay, I'm receiving something here. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather," instead of complaining and asking him to remove it, I will boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I tell you, he gets even worse. He even gets bolder. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities," or afflictions, "in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses." Sounds like this life, doesn't it? I said, sounds like this life, doesn't it? Sounds like every day you could wake up and receive all of these. Or every day you could actually do what he's doing. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." It's like the enemy can't even get you. All the handles are gone. Amen? I said, all the handles are gone. You're slick as a grease pig. I've been wanting to say that all day. I mean, he can't just try to get a hold of you. The enemy can't get a hold of you. You don't have any handles. Well, let's see. Let's throw a reproach on him. Well, no, sorry, sir. It didn't work. Well, let's try a necessity. They don't even know what those are. Let's try that. Well, okay. How about just back to an infirmity? Okay. Okay. What about a persecution? Let's put a persecution. Do you notice how many of those there are here? Do you notice this? I take pleasure in infirmities, in persecutions, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distresses. There's five of them. Not even counting thorns. And what else? Yeah, that's basically, yeah, okay. So therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So he said, my strength, God said back in verse 9, God's talking about himself, said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then down in verse 10, Paul says, for when I am weak, I am strong. Now, why is he saying that? Because he's saying the same thing that God said. Are you saying the same thing that he says? Are you saying the same thing that he says? All right. Let's see here. He says, I know. Say, I know. O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. And what he's doing, he's getting the most of his gift to you out of you. He is getting the most of what he's given you out of you. He's bringing forth what's in the Spirit out through your flesh. So that you are rejoicing, so that you are at peace, and so that afflictions don't afflict you. Isn't that right? Well, yeah, that's right. Wow, I never saw that before. Thank you. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm just having a good time. I just want to squeeze this out of here. God says, I want to get everything I've put on the inside of you out through your flesh, so your flesh is not suffering, but your flesh, well, it suffers. The flesh itself suffers. But you are coming into banging up against chair six, which is the glory of God, which is the outworking of His will and His word through you. So the fruit of the Spirit begins to come forth. Love, joy, peace, patience. Just those first four are good when you're working with people. Love, joy, peace, patience. I mean, just get the first four and you're doing pretty good, right? See, that's what the Holy Spirit begins to do. He begins to do that by whittling away all of that response, the human response to affliction. He gets rid of it. He wipes it out. He takes it out. You no longer respond according to the world. You don't respond according to the kingdom of this world. You respond according to heaven. Jesus never responded out of his own flesh, did he? I said, did he? Now, David did a few times. When kings should have gone to war, he didn't. Oops, bad plan. Stayed up on the roof and guy had his binoculars out. You know, bad plan. I mean, so God wants to lead you so that you are in the right place at the right time. Amen? And you're not in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because sometimes if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, the wrong thing happens. You ever find that out? Like if you're going to take care of something yourself, by gum, I'm going to take care of this. This is a problem and I'm going to handle it. Now, it might even be something that you thought was a good idea. It wasn't the fact that you were going to punch somebody in the face because they did something. No, you thought, in fact, you were going to take care of something that was, man, this is godly. Well, you got to find out if God told you to. Jesus, Lazarus is sick unto death. Oh, well, I better get right down there. Well, you know, Jesus didn't go right down there. And everybody would have said, boy, Martha said it. Martha said what everybody was thinking. Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Would you like to accuse Jesus? Amen. I've done it before, haven't you? Jesus, if you'd only have come through, if you'd have only done it, you know what? I don't need Jesus to do it. I don't need him to do it. to get on here and do it on my schedule. Amen? I don't. I don't need Jesus to do it on my schedule. He loves me. He's going to do it on His schedule, and it's going to bless me. And you know what I'm going to do in the middle? I'll probably suffer in between. I think Martha suffered when she had to plan Lazarus' funeral and bury him behind that rock. But Jesus had a different idea. Jesus had a bigger agenda. Amen? Sometimes things happen that Jesus got a bigger agenda than you have. He's got a bigger agenda than you have. Can you say amen? But it's not mine. But His agenda is better than mine. His agenda is better than mine. Amen. So I'll finish up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 12, 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In fact, I am become a fool in glory, in glorying to God. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, talking to the Corinthians, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. I'm nothing. Amen. I am nothing. Without Him, I'm nothing. All right, let's look back. Psalm 119, verse 76. Psalm 119, verse 76. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word. That's after this affliction. Let your merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to your word, unto your word unto your servant. So His merciful kindness is comforting me through every affliction, because I know what He promised He's going to complete. What He's promised, He's going to complete. Verse 77. Let thy tender... Okay, so you're talking about merciful kindness. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For your law is my delight. So let your tender mercies come to me. So you're receiving them. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that your mercy endureth forever. I'm receiving all of your mercies. You know, it's actually His mercy that even allows the affliction to come. He said, don't look at affliction as a bad thing. Look at affliction as helping you get rid of your flesh. Amen? Affliction is just getting rid of your flesh. It's really what it is. It's discipleship. Right? It is. So, it's good. I mean, our idea, the human idea of affliction is, oh, God's punishing me for, I messed up, He's making me pay. He's not making you pay. He is, in fact, loving you. Hebrews 12, He's actually loving you and getting rid of all the rest of the junk that's still hanging on. I can tell. It's just, yeah. Woo! Glory to God. Say amen. Say hallelujah. I don't get it, but I'm going to. Say, I don't get it, but I'm going to. There you go. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know God's good? How many know that He loves you? How many know that He's changing you? How many know that your flesh has to die? Whoa. See? Boy, I finally got one out of you. Amen. Got a good amen out of there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, I'm receiving your mercy. I'm receiving your mercy. I'm receiving your mercy. Let your tender mercies come unto me. Let them come. Let them come. That I may, what? That I may live. For thy law is my delight. Psalm 1, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 1, blessed is the man whose hope is not in this world, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does he meditate both what? Day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who bears fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Amen? That's you, delighting yourself in the law of the Lord. That's you, delighting yourself in the law of the Lord, receiving of his mercies, that you may live. Receiving his mercies, that you may live. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. So in other words, compared to what the Lord is doing in me, the proud are ashamed. I'm prospering and being glorified and blessed and happy. You know, and the proud like you to be, you know, when people are bullied, what's your joy? What's the joy in a bully? What's the joy in a bully? Is watching somebody be under their power, right? Well, the fact is that you're not under the power of the enemy. You're not under the power of the proud. You are under the power of the Most High. In fact, you love them. Oh, they hate that. They hate that because then now they're afflicted. They become afflicted because they're not used to that. They're not used to somebody loving them. But that's you. Read it again. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in your precepts. I'm not even seeing what they're doing. My meditation is in the law of the Lord, and is meditating his law day and night. I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord. I'm enjoying walking in freedom and liberty, and I don't have a care in this world. Is there trouble in this world? Yeah. Remember Jesus said, in the world you have, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world where there's trouble. How did he overcome it? By his promise. By his word. Through discipleship. Discipleship's just learning the ways of Jesus instead of your ways. All right, finishing up here shortly. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Well, I got fellowship with you. I got fellowship with you. Let those that fear thee turn unto me. You know what I've got? How many know that you've got something to share? You've got the joy of the Lord. You've got peace, the peace of God. Somebody is going to be redeemed by sitting with you. Amen. Well, I wonder if I could sit with that person. You know, I mean, people think like that in college. But I'll tell you what, people think like that when they're 60. Well, I wonder if I could sit next to this person if they'd like me. How many know that happens too? Amen? Do you still have that junk? You know, it's like, well, maybe I'll outgrow this. No, you better just know Jesus. Don't worry. Don't try to outgrow something. Amen? Hallelujah. I was trying to outgrow something once. Didn't work. What are y'all laughing about? No, Janet and I met because the Lord spoke to me. I was on the back seat of a bus. And I just not a person that get up and go down. I wasn't a person that'd go meet everybody. I wouldn't do that. I'd just wait for somebody to come by me. And the Holy Ghost said, get up. And I was on the very back. Get up and walk to the front and meet everybody all the way up. There's a full bus. And we were on our way to a leadership retreat, and I didn't feel full of leadership. I just figured I'd get some when I got there. And I was hoping I'd get some when I got there. But the Holy Spirit had me go up and meet and say, greet everybody. It's totally out of character. Everybody who's on the front, all the way to the front. Janet's on the very front seat, or close, or almost at the front seat. And so, but if I hadn't done that, I probably never would have talked to her at any length. And so, well, the rest is history. And she's still here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Got 4 kids, 3 grandkids, 2 dogs, and a dad in heaven. Amen. So, but yeah, see, the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll change you. He'll change you. Those that fear you will be glad when they meet me. Did you know that they're going to be glad? People are glad to meet you. So people are glad to meet me. Thank you for that, hobo. Yeah. People are glad to meet me. Y'all smiling at me, but you're not saying anything. Nobody's recording you. Except the person next to you, they can hear you. Said, people are glad when they meet me. Okay, mumble. Praise the Lord. All right, well, we'll move on. Let those that fear you turn unto me. Let those that fear you turn to me. And those that have known thy testimonies, those that have fellowship with you. Now, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll be done in a second here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. But first of all, I'm going to read verse 80 on this Psalm 119, verse 80. Let my heart be sound in your statutes, that I be not ashamed. Let's say that together. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. So if my heart is sound in his statutes, I'll not be ashamed. Now look here at verse 7 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not you therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, that I not be ashamed. See, you've got a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Be not you therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but be you a partaker after the afflictions of the gospel. Well, there's the afflictions. Of the gospel according to the power of God. There's the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Which was given unto us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So He formed you. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. So I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day, the day of His coming. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells in us. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Ghost. How do you keep it? By the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. Let my heart be sound in your statutes, that I be not ashamed. I hope, I pray, that as we walk through these stanzas, I'll call them stanzas, there's 8 verses. It's almost like a poem. And they're written in a means that is easy to receive. And I'm praying that the Word of God, I want you to look over this again. I want you to look over this again this week. I want you to look over this verses 73 to 80 in Psalm 119. I want you to meditate upon it. And I want you to be free. I want you to receive your discipleship, and the Holy Spirit's working on the inside of you and changing you, because you're looking unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. That although these afflictions come, they come just to whittle off the handles that the enemy has to grab a hold of. There's nothing he can grab a hold of. Amen? Just say, I'm a greased pig. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that fun? I mean, the devil can't even get a hold of me. He can't get a hold of me. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just remember that. David's going to make a greased pig illustration coming up. Amen. I can't wait to see it. It'll be great. Amen. Well, God is good, isn't He? Are you having a good time? Are you blessed beyond measure? Woo-hoo! Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You right now in Jesus' name. Thank You for the Word of God, which is able to save our souls, change us, and make us new. Every day we're waking up brand new. Every day we're waking up is a resurrection. It's a resurrection. Thank You, Lord God, that there is nothing. His mercies are new every morning. There's nothing that shall by any means hurt me, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come nor life, anything else, any other creature, is able to separate me from the love of Christ. That I know whom I believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. So we give You glory and we give You praise and we rejoice unceasingly in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord.
Hide me, Lord, in Your holiness. Every sin I now confess. Praise to You for giving, Lord. Hide me in Your holiness. Hide me in Your holiness.
Hallelujah. Let's stand together. If there's anybody here today who doesn't know Jesus, you can know Him today. He died for your sin on the cross. He was raised again for your justification. God sent Him so that you could live eternity with Him. So if you need to be born again today, I want you to come and let's pray together. Maybe you thought you were born again. Maybe one day you thought you were, but now you're not too sure. Let's pray. Let's pray together and thank God and know that He has given you life eternal. And it's only through faith. Faith alone. That's it. Not through good works. Not through doing the right thing. But it's through Jesus Christ. Faith in His death, burial, and resurrection alone. And if you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, He said, don't leave town. Don't leave town unless you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be endued with power. If you're a Christian, you need to be endued with power. So if you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, let's come and we'll pray. And thank God that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit today. If you need prayer for healing, for any other need, financial or in any other realm, let's pray together. If you need prayer, I'm going to ask the deacons or the elders to come and join us. We just thank God for every one of you today. Father, we thank You for this people. ask you to minister to them by your Spirit. Transform us and change us by your Word, by your Spirit. And we thank you that you're doing all the work. And well, Father, we submit to you. I submit to you. I submit to you to do the work in me so that I'm without fear. My fear is gone. My fear is gone. My anxiety is gone. Because your Word has set me free. With Jesus, your Word has set me free. So, Father, we just give you praise and thanks. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you because He loves you so much. He does. He's not angry with you. He's not disturbed with you. He's not disappointed with you. He's lifting up His loving face upon you and gives you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, Pastor Jim will be teaching tonight at 6 o'clock, Tuesday Bible.